Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
Bird Show.
What's the craziest thing you've ever done trying to impress somebody? We have a laundry list. Let's see where yours falls on that list. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. I am obsessing over these memes that have gone viral of people going, I remember
when I lost my mind.
I haven't seen those.
Oh, so it's people who had crushes and they're sharing what they did to get their crush's attention, and they are hilarious. And it reminds me of this.
So yeah, I'll share mine to start because I saw a list of things that people have done on Baller Alert on Instagram, and I've told mine before. I think I was in sixth grade, and there were like at the park. They used to have like slides and the bridge, you know, a typical park. And the guys would like use their bikes in order to kind of make it like a BMX at the, the ride through the bridge, ride down the slide. And that wasn't me. That wasn't. I didn't have that in me at all. But that's what the girl I was crushing. Not a one. But that's what the girl that I was crushing on was impressed by. She liked those guys. So I got up there and tried to do it. And my bike ended up, I didn't turn with the slide properly. So the wheel went over the side of the slide. I fell with my bike, hit my head on the ground. The bike hit me in the head. I was bleeding. It was bad. And of course, as soon as I opened my eyes, she was the first one there just laughing at me. So that in the way I intended. But
scarred in more ways than one.
Oh my God, for life. I still haven't gotten over it. Some of the comments I saw was somebody said they rented out an Airbnb and put their pictures all around it to pretend like they lived there. And they had to carry that lie for months because every time they came over, you had to pretend like that was your place.
Shut up.
So it cost them thousands of dollars to keep that lie going. Someone said they lied about their career and it got to the point where the person that they were lying to would end up dropping them off at their fake job and they would have to find something to do the entire day because they didn't actually have a job.
Man, the level of commitment to the lies.
Right.
Like imagine if you put that into like an actual job.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to lie about one. Someone said, I actually went out of my way to purchase her a car when she was down and out and in a time of need, all to end up seeing another guy driving her around in the car that I purchased her.
Oh, my God.
Ouch. Someone said they stole a leather skirt out of their mom's closet from Saks Fifth Avenue and gave it to the girl as a present.
No.
And ended up getting busted when, of course, one day she came over to visit and had the mother's skirt on. And the mother thought it looked very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said that this girl made an herbalist herb and it was her product and she was selling it. And the guy said he tried it like he was like her first experiment with it just to, you know, try to, I guess, get her attention. And his skin was covered in cold sores for weeks. He ended up having to go to the hospital for it.
All because he wanted to be like, you know, her first customer and I have the hots for you. So I'll buy whatever herbal products you're pushing. And he gives himself cold sores.
Someone said that they made up an entire dance routine that and knowing that they couldn't dance and it ended up being the most cringe part about their life at the talent show. And to this day, the person is still friends with them, but thinks they're a horrible dancer. Someone else said they bought this girl a Rolex for her birthday, thinking that that was going to get them in good with her. And the girl just loved it and said, thank you. You have great taste in jewelry. And it never went any further.
All right. Let's get Caitlin on hold. Caitlin, thanks for joining the conversation. What's the craziest thing you've ever done to impress somebody?
I found this guy on Facebook. Like I was scrolling through and he came up as suggested friends, and so I thought he was really cute. So I was kind of crazy and went through his Facebook friends and eventually found out who his mom and his sister were. And, you know, I did some further research and I saw that like, they do these yoga classes nearby. So I joined those same yoga classes and ended up becoming friends with them. And then his mom was like, oh, like I have, and he's available. And I'm like, oh, that's really and ended up just...
Her phone's cutting out.
I really want to know how that story ended.
I really want to know too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that's crazy. I would just say that's resourceful.
It's good planning.
It is good planning.
It's only crazy if you get caught.
Every now and then I will come across a video on Instagram that just speaks to my soul, will become some sort of mantra. And I'm hoping that's what Monday mantras on the Bird Show can be for you. That you're going through something and you need to hear a specific message. And lo and behold, a member of the Bird Show has that message that you need to hear. So we're going to start doing some Monday mantras. And today, Abby and Mo are bringing in theirs.
So mine, when I saw this video, it was timely. It was right on time for me because I think a lot of people go through these moments in life where you just don't feel like yourself and you just don't maybe, you know, you may not even know exactly what it is, but you just, I think sometimes you get so caught up in the everyday grind of life that you forget to count your blessings. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just need to be reminded of how grateful you actually are. And Steve Harvey in his clip on Black Billions Club talks about in those moments how you should stop and then actually think about the things that you should be grateful for. And it could end up changing your entire mood.
If you wake up in the morning, you start having negative thoughts. Man, this ain't my day. I woke up on the wrong side of bed. I'm tripping. I just don't feel myself. Every time you feel in the middle of the day, if you feel yourself doing that, stop. Just stop for a second. And start going over in your mind everything you have to be grateful for. Not everything you want. Everything you already have. Because what you have is substantial. You just haven't gone over the list and taken inventory in a long time. But the fact that you can walk, that's a blessing. The fact that you woke up, that's another blessing. The fact that you can see, think, reason, that's another blessing. The fact that you can go somewhere and get yourself something to eat, that's another blessing. The fact that you can go and turn the key and call someplace home, that's another blessing. The ability to dream is a blessing. The fact that you have an opportunity to get it right is another blessing. The fact that you're beautiful, that's another blessing. The fact that you have any measure of health, that's another blessing. And I'm just talking to you, I don't even know you. I could give you 50 things you ought to be grateful for right now. I don't even know you.
I thought that was powerful because, you can forget. It's very easy to forget all of the things that you have in your life that you should be grateful for. And I think it's a good reminder every once in a while.
Can really get caught up in the stuff, the mundane stuff every single day. You're stuck in traffic. Oh, it's Monday. You're stuck in traffic. But when you think about it, just the fact you have a car and the ability and you have a job to go to that is putting you in that traffic is a really great point.
It's also it's important to remember that, man. And in smallest things, like that's what kind of got me about that video of him saying you can walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You have the ability to go get something to eat today. Like these things, we don't think about it. As they say, health is like a crown that only the unhealthy can see.
Ooh, that is the truth, man.
Yeah.
I was in Colorado last week, and you go to Colorado to be in the mountains, right? And Amanda and I went up onto a mountain, and there was a woman there in a wheelchair, and she was working her way up to this ride that they've put on the mountain in Vail, and this guy started helping her out before I could get my hands on her. He started helping her out and he pushes her up the mountain. And she said to him, she goes, it's so hard to live life the way you want to when you're in a wheelchair. And he totally embraced her and said, I will take you anywhere you want to go, man. But it really made me realize what you just said.
Yeah, you got to be grateful for the smallest of things in life. And usually that'll help change your mood if you ever find yourself in a dark place.
All right, Abby, you're up.
That's hard to follow up.
It's not a competition.
That feels like one. Mine's better. No, I'm just kidding. Mine is for the people who have big emotions. And I think as an adult, I've become someone who has muted their emotions as like a survival tactic. So this isn't quite my mantra yet, but I'm setting it up. So let me cook here. So on TikTok, there's this life coach. Her name is at Life Coach Connie. And she gave an apology to anyone who's ever felt like they had to become hard in life in order to dim down their emotions. That she gave an apology for anyone who feels like they've had to make their emotions smaller to fit into the world.
Baby, it is that deep for you. It is that deep for you, and that's okay. It's okay that you feel things so deeply. It is okay that things land so hard for you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you are surrounded by people who don't know how to hold your softness. I'm sorry that you're surrounded by people who don't know how to hold your tenderness. I'm sorry that you are surrounded by people who invalidate just how big and soft and mushy you are. And it is that deep, and I want you to lean into that depth of the way that you feel life. It is that deep for you, and that's okay.
So for me, I feel like I have definitely become that person who has like let that softness go as a way to make it through life. I think I was surrounded by people who, the people that thrived and the people that were on top in life were really cold, and I guess had this fierceness to them and like a badassery that I was like, oh, I'm not naturally like that. Like I am like just like a big marshmallow. So I think as a way to like make it through life, I've become very cold. And so I saw this quote that I actually reposted to my Instagram story yesterday. It said, destroy the idea that you have to be cold and emotionally detached in order to be strong. And I am trying to reframe my way of thinking, of realizing the people that are actually strong aren't the people that have the cold defense mechanism. It's the people who are strong enough to still be warm in despite of people tearing down their softness.
That's a fact.
I love that so much. And I am so adamant now. I see things so differently when you become a parent, and emotions is one of them. And I think this new generation of parenting, we really are trying to get our kids to embrace their emotions and not to dismiss them, but learn how to deal with them. So having a son, and I want to make sure I'm like, it's okay to have big feelings. It's okay to have big emotions. We need to acknowledge what we're feeling. We just have to find better ways of dealing with what we are feeling. And so that's why anytime he gets upset, I'm like, all right, are we sad? Are we mad? Like what, like can you, and then can we talk about it? And all right, so a better way to deal with this, how about we, and you give them like some coping, because I think so often as kids, we were just kind of like, we were dismissed, mm-hmm. those feelings, because you're just a kid and you got to get over it. And I think at such a young age, you're going to see a lot more emotionally involved people, hopefully, coming out of this new generation of parenting.
Yeah, I'll be dead by then, but good for them.
There's that hardness.
It's the Burt Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country?
Get a new 2026 Subaru Forester with 1.9% APR financing for up to 63 months.
Easy to deal with, easy to get to. Byers Airport Subaru.
By the airport!
See dealer for details. Offer ends 3/31/26.
Man, I've had money come up and divide family before. It is... when... you're talking about borrowing money from a family member. I think the same theory applies, that borrowing equals, you just have to assume you're not going to get that money back. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
You ever done that with family?
If I give money, I was taught that lesson very early in life. If you are going to give money to family, then you should not expect it back, and it's on you. But I think money is probably the number one cause of why I've seen relationships sour in my family.
Abby, have you ever borrowed money from your parents?
From your family? From my family?
Yeah, because I'm assuming they haven't come to you.
Well, actually, you'd be surprised. They're like, my mom was like, what are you getting me for Christmas this year? I'm like, why am I getting you? You guys just went to the Virgin Islands for 2 weeks. I'm struggling to pay rent, Carrie. But no, I get money from them every now and then.
I was financially illiterate when I was younger, mm-hmm. and I accrued a significant amount of credit card debt. And I went to Dad and the Bank of Dad, which has a phenomenal interest rate of zero. He loaned me the money so I could pay off the credit card, but I paid every single dime back.
Okay, good. All right, so this is a complicated email we got about lending money, helping family members out, then needing it. Dear Bercho, I'm a 28-year-old female and doing well financially all on my own. I'm a big girl. 10 years ago, when I was 18, my father and mother kicked me out of the house and refused to help me financially. I won't get into the ins and outs of being kicked out, but I was only 18 and still needed financial help from my parents. Fair enough. My dad told me, you're an adult at 18 and you should never need or have to ask or help or ask for help or money for the rest of your life. He said it was time for me to be an adult. So I had to move out and pay for everything. During that time, I really struggled and even spent a month living in my car. Now, 10 years later, tables have turned. My father reached out to me a couple of days ago asking for money. He and my mother have fallen behind on their bills and he needs $10,000 to keep the home they live in. The home they kicked me out of. They must really be hurting to call me. When he called me, I actually laughed and told him, no. Yep, I know he's my father and they funded my life until I was 18, but that was their job as parents. And job is capital letter, so she is serious. They made me and it was their responsibility to raise me, but the fact they wouldn't help me when I was 18 and I went months hardly eating and even spending that time living in a car, I still haven't forgiven them. And I will never forget his speech about adults should never ask for money. So, no. ... I am not helping him out. I refuse to. I don't even feel bad about it either. I told him exactly what he told me at 18. I know a couple of you, Bert, Mo, have had complicated pasts with your parents, so I wanted to hear what you all would do and what you think about my decision. Then she writes, sorry, not sorry.
Wow, that's tough. I mean, I would like to think that I would probably come around years later, and if I found my dad in a situation like that, or my mom, and I would probably help because I've lived out of a car. It wasn't as long as her. It was only a week, but that's not fun, not having a home for any amount of time. But I'm not mad at her, to be honest. I agree with her that it was their job to help as parents, and I do think that was harsh to say that after 18 you should always be on your own, you should never ask money, because even as adults, we come upon hard times sometimes. It's inevitable. But if she doesn't want to give the money because she's going to make her father stick to what he said, I'm not mad at her.
I'm taking this email for face value. Because we're not getting any of the details as far as, like, you know, getting kicked out and in any of that. I would hope that regardless of, unless it's something absolutely extreme, that as a parent, you're going to be there for your kid, right? And these parents were not there for their child for whatever reasoning they had. That's not something I subscribe to personally. It's something they felt, I guess, was going to teach grit. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea to kick their child out at 18 and give them no support whatsoever. Especially, I don't know if they knew they were, like, homeless and starving. And if they did and still didn't do anything, then no, I'm not giving you the $10,000. Now, if we want to go to a notary and work out some kind of payment plan, and I can loan you $10,000 and then you are legally required to pay me back, then sure, because that's a responsible adult thing to do.
Ooh. I have never liked the dynamic of thinking just because your parents funded your life until you were 18 that you somehow now owe them money, because once again, it was their choice to have you and bring you into this world and to raise you. And the dynamic is just simply not equals. The fact that they're now coming to you for money after having a specific set of rules of at 18, no money is given to you. I think you have every right to deny them the $10,000, especially if they have a history of mistreating money, or if they got into themselves in this situation because they are not smart financially. But I think what Kristen brought up is a really great idea that, okay, maybe you give them $5,000. Maybe you're not the solution to all their problems, but maybe you loan them $5,000, put them on a payment plan. But I think if you want to deny them the money, you have the right to.
Man, that's harsh. Even if I had a hard line like this dad does, I'm not letting my kid go homeless. I'm giving him money. So I can understand why that scar is there. I like Kristen's idea because doing the right thing is never the wrong thing to do. Your parents need the 10 grand, but I also wouldn't just throw it at them. I'd make it a legal document, like you said.
I would go through the legal processes and be like, yeah, I want to help you, but... This is how I'm going to help you, and either you accept it or you don't.
I would not be able to live with myself. Even I have a crappy relationship with my parents most of my life, but I would not be able to live with myself if I knew that they were about to be homeless and I could help that because financially I'm doing fine. I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
It would be hard, but I ain't gonna lie, it'd be a little easier if you let me be homeless for a month.
Yeah.
I understand her pain.
It's the Burt Show.
This is the Burt Show.
So, what is the difference between intuition and I've lost the place on my schedule?
Anxiety.
That it is.
Yes.
I'm having both right now.
So, this is something I've talked about pretty frequently on my podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, which is on Burt's network, the Pioneer Network, which he owns. The one thing that I say, I think comes up more than any other topic is how to follow your gut. Like I always ask at the end, I'm like, okay, what's your advice? Like if you feel like somebody else is going through this, like what would you tell them to get through it? And the one thing that I feel like comes out 9 out of 10 times is trust your gut.
Your heart lies.
Your heart lies, but your gut doesn't. But the problem is, I'm like, well, how do you know it's your gut? How do you know it's your gut? Can you trust your gut? Is there science behind it? So this season, I've specifically been diving into that a lot with some experts and just kind of doing my own research on it. So this week, I interviewed a cognitive behavioral therapist who talked to me a little bit about like how you can differentiate whether or not you're just projecting your own fears and past traumas on your partner, or if it's actually like a gut feeling that something might be going on.
Yeah, so the work I had to do over the last couple of years is my gut has always been accurate. The work that I had to do is, why didn't I do something about it?
You don't listen to it.
I don't listen to it. I'll make excuses for it. But the insecurity factor was so high that I just decided not to listen to it. But I always saw it.
Yeah, well, you listen to it, so you hear it.
Oh, yeah.
You listen to it,
yep.
But you don't trust it.
Too scared to do something about it.
Yeah. So why don't you trust your gut? Like, are you just out-logicking your gut? Like, oh, well, it logically doesn't make sense.
I could go in. There's a bunch of different levels psychologically on why, but I understand it a lot. It all stems from childhood.
Yeah.
Feeling embraced, feeling dismissed all the time, not having, you know what? It's all psychological mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, we got 2.5 minutes left, so don't take up my time.
You asked.
Well, you know, I was just trying to, you know, involve you in the conversation.
There's a real beauty of going through therapy and really going through the hard stuff and saying the stuff in therapy that you hate to say out loud.
Yeah.
Because it really is the only way to get through it. Like, I will never, ever, ever not act on my gut. Ever again, but it took years to get here.
Right. Well, where I was going with that is if you're trying to out-logic your gut, if your gut feels like it's telling you one thing, but it's not as logical as what you tell yourself in your head, actually, your gut is way more of a logical path than you think that it is, because really what your gut is actually your brain recognizing patterns in your life and just noticing them again showing up, which is that gut feeling of, oh, I think I've seen this film before and here it is again. But you out-logic it because you think just because it happened then doesn't mean it's happening now. So if you're noticing your boyfriend picking up his phone and kind of turning it away from you, that's something you're clocking.
Yeah, a healthy person can see the manipulation and do something about it. An unhealthy person, like I have been for a very, very, very long time, can see it, but then starts to question their own gut based on somebody else's words. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It took me years to realize that I feel like the majority of the times that I got myself into trouble or into a bad situation, it was because I thought with my heart or I listened to my heart as opposed to going with my gut.
So the therapist that I interviewed this week, her name is Joanna Hardis, and she specifically specializes in generalized anxiety therapy. So she has a lot of patients that
have
generalized anxiety disorder, gang.
No,
we're scared. Go ahead. No gangs. She specializes in anxiety. And I was asking her, I'm like, okay, so if I'm somebody with generalized anxiety disorder, how can I differentiate whether I am just really anxious about a situation versus my gut is telling me that something's up?
That's an excellent question.
Right? It's almost like I'm good at this.
I know.
And she said the one way that you can really differentiate it is anxiety is obviously a big feeling of unease, but your gut feeling is usually a calm knowing. Like, anxiety will involve emotions. It will involve urgency. It will involve some kind of uncomfortable sense of panic, whereas your gut feeling is kind of like, it comes to you in the shower. Like, that was a little weird that he did that earlier.
It's like an all-knowing.
Mm-hmm. You have an understanding.
You have an understanding. And the one thing that I took away from that, having interviewed so many people about their breakups, having known something goes wrong in the end, and then also talking to my friends who have anxiety, because we all flock together, is usually when there's a gut feeling of something's wrong, they're usually shutting it down, like, no, nothing's wrong. Mm-hmm. And then when there's anxiety involved, it's almost like they want something to be wrong and they're looking for a way to get out of it. So I think you should clock that information as well. So that there you go. If you want to hear more about anxiety versus your gut feeling and more of the science behind it, you can head to the Breakup Breakdown wherever you get your podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.